How many of you enjoy suffering? Anybody? How many of you enjoy suffering? How many of you welcome pain? Is that normal? Yeah? You don't enjoy it, but you've learned to suffer well. We usually try to avoid suffering, right? That's the usual normal thing to do. A dentist was telling me about some rare patients that he had who refused to receive anesthetics during root canal. Like, imagine that. Refused it. I didn't know people like that existed. I want painkiller when I get my teeth cleaning. Well, because sometimes the hygienist scrapes really hard and my teeth are very sensitive. But during root canal? Yikes. That's not normal. Most of us do not want pain. We don't want to suffer. You know how you can tell how much you despise suffering? Just observe the content of your prayers. Yes, what do you ask for? Oh Lord, heal me. Make me well. Move this pain away from me. Get rid of this person, Lord. Let me give you an update on the ongoing pain of my life. The non-paying tenant that I've told you about several months ago has been evicted finally. But this lady has filed a couple of lawsuits against me for personal injury and civil harassment. She claims that I harassed her by continually asking for rent, and that the eviction has caused emotional trauma and personal injury. I don't doubt that she is suffering. And although I'm not sure that I could have done anything else, I struggled for many months letting her stay for free, and I questioned myself, what would Jesus do in this situation? And everybody kept telling me, you are enabling her. She is using you, and you need to kick her out. And so eviction took place. But I still have guilt about it. And I wonder if I could have done something to alleviate some of her suffering rather than giving her this emotional trauma. However, when I'm not feeling bad about it, I am angry, because I personally suffered a lot because of this lady. For 8 months, I had to endure a lot of verbal abuse from this lady. She called me all kinds of names, and she called me greedy. You're so greedy. Why do you keep asking me for rent? And I'm so sensitive. I believed her. I said, I must be greedy. Why am I asking her for rent? And I explained to her, I need to pay the mortgage. I don't own this for free. And your rent does not cover my mortgage, so I am already in the negative. So I really need this. Please help me. And yet, for months, she would text me, and I would get like 25 texts in a row telling me where I'm going and why I am going there, the wickedness of my ways. I want this nightmare to be over. And when it's over, I never want to experience anything like this ever again. So this is my question for you today. Assuming that you are somewhat like I am, in that you don't want to suffer, what do you think about the notion that suffering is good for us? That rather than avoiding it, we should embrace it. That we should even perhaps welcome it. One Bible verse says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. What do you think about that? Well, today's passage speaks of suffering in the same vein, similar vein. And it insinuates that suffering is beneficial to us. Romans 5, 1 to 5, let's read it again. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. You know, I can understand boasting in the hope of the glory of God, right? We have found this amazing life in God. And so we talk about it with joy. But boasting in our sufferings? You know, a few years ago when people started foreclosing on their homes because they bought overpriced houses, one of my good friends, was talking to me about his experience of foreclosure. Usually, it is a sad story, and the listeners have much sympathy and pity as they're listening. Well, my friend was talking about it and laughing about it in such a way that I was wondering, was this a bad thing for you? If I had listened from a distance, not really comprehending the content of his story, I would have thought that he was bragging about himself from the intonation and the excitement of his voice. That's what it would sound like. He is Korean, and so I called him a Korean name. This is a word that's used to call someone who is a senseless fool. It's punsu. I called him punsu to his face and said, "That is nothing to brag about, man. It's a terrible thing that's happened to you. Why are you talking like that?" Can we really boast about suffering? The boast in this passage, the word boast, is not speaking of arrogance or bragging. It is actually saying, consider suffering differently. Not as something so awful, but rather something useful. Sometimes suffering is so terrible that we can't even think about it. We can't talk about it. "Hey, so how's it going with that thing?" "Oh, fine. Fine. I gotta go." You know, we're so hurt. Suffering has overwhelmed us so much that we can't even deal with it. And this passage is saying, boast about your suffering. Talk about it like this senseless fool, as if it's something that's wonderful. So, can we really glory in our sufferings? That's in another version. Glory in your suffering. Can we really do that? Is suffering really not that bad? Here is my opinion on it. Suffering is awful. It is bad news. I don't wish it on you. Suffering is painful. It leaves scars. It is traumatic. It makes you resentful and angry. Suffering makes you cynical about life and God. It makes you distrust others. Suffering is terrible. It could lead to depression, mental illnesses, PTSD. You know what that is? Post-traumatic stress disorder. Suffering can do this. It costs a lot of money on psychotherapy. Please don't tell me suffering is good for me. Really? A pastor was preaching at his church about suffering. And as expected, he was saying that suffering was a necessary and beneficial part of spiritual growth. That suffering helps us to see the reality of life and that we should embrace it rather than run away from it. And as he was nearing the end of the sermon, a teenage girl stood up and started yelling at the top of her lungs. Now, the congregation knew this girl to be a sensible person, a quiet girl. So they recognized that this sermon had really agitated her. And this is what she said. She said, "Don't tell me, Pastor, that suffering is good for me, because I know for a fact it is not. Don't tell me that it is a good thing that my stepfather has been molesting me since I was 5. You are no better than him. You make me sick." Wow. What do you tell her about suffering? What would you say? Embrace it. It's good for you. It's not that bad. Is suffering really good for us? Really? We wonder many times. We hear sermons in churches that tell us to rejoice with our pain. And many times we go home feeling guilty because we know that we are not. We know that we hate it. And we pray to God that God will remove it from our lives. What do we do with passages like this? Where it says, boast. Not only do we boast in the glory of God, but we also boast in our excruciating pain. Really? Are we sure we're not just blindly believing what the Bible says? Because it seems like people get pretty messed up from prolonged suffering. They don't seem to get stronger. No. Suffering is devastating. There's a song that's popular. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's the biggest lie ever. It's just a song. It's just a saying. Is it? Children who go through suffering are traumatized for life. They have issues, especially in relationships. And what is more awful is that the pain doesn't stop with the perpetration. The suffering of the past becomes the suffering of the present. It goes on. Do you know about the California State Bill, SB 131, happening right now? This is a bill to eliminate the statute of limitations for survivors of childhood molestation, which means the victims can file for damages against their abusers even after many years have passed. Right now, currently, there's a limit, 7 years. After 7 years, you cannot seek for justice. So there's a bill saying, let's remove the statute of limitations. Let me quote something from the website, the California State website. During the hearing, and I quote, traumatized victims voiced their support for SB 131 and told about their troubled lives and their anger over being unable to obtain justice against their perpetrators. Current California law does not allow ample time for these victims to realize the mental and physical damage the abuse has caused, which prevents them from getting an opportunity at obtaining justice. Evidence shows psychological injuries from sexual abuse can and do emerge later in life, well past age 26. Victims need to recover the cost of their treatment and therapy, as well as ongoing costs for continual treatment. Well, the problem is, this bill is only targeting private institutions, namely the Catholic Church. But since they cannot single one institution, they are making this bill to cover all private institutions. I have been asked by my employers to encourage you to fight against this bill because of the financial ramifications for nonprofit organizations could be devastating, with potentially all the people from 50, 60 years ago filing for damages. From the business standpoint, I can understand why church administrators are against this. Yeah, they're trying to make ends meet. They're trying to open the doors of churches, and this could potentially bankrupt the church. Yeah, they're trying to survive. But some may argue that perhaps an institution that has allowed such atrocity to be overlooked should come to financial ruin. Maybe they deserve it. It certainly isn't very validating to the victims to hear that their church is fighting to stop them from seeking justice, right? Those who have been struggling their whole life trying to understand why God would allow such unbearable suffering, they are already fragile and distrusting, and yet the church does this? Should the church really care more about their finances than finding justice for the oppressed? It's a rhetorical question. Isn't the Bible full of admonitions for God's people to stand for the rights of the weak, the poor, and the abused? What should the church, the representation of God's love on earth, do for those that it has victimized through its employees? Should the church fight against them? Shouldn't the church do all it can to alleviate even a little bit of their sufferings by standing behind them and validating the pain that they had to endure and are enduring now? But that is not the question for today. The question is suffering really beneficial? Is it really our friend? And you've been patient, because I've asked that about a dozen times already. And this is my point. Suffering is not our friend. It is our enemy. Suffering leaves a wake that devastates. Suffering is a tsunami that has no mercy on those playing joyfully on the shore. Suffering is a wildfire that consumes everything on its path for miles without discrimination. And suffering is not caused by God. However, and here is my main point. However, in this world, that's the way suffering goes. However, despite the power of suffering, in God, there is a way to diffuse the devastation. In God, there is a way that suffering can be different. There is one way. Suffering does not devastate us, but rather becomes a building block for endurance and character. In life, the way we usually live, suffering is awful. It's terrible. It is devastating, and let's stay away from it. But in God, life is not the same anymore. It is quite different altogether. It is a new creation. We are no longer the same. We are not looking at life the same way. And in that sense, suffering is no longer suffering. And perhaps thinking of what it does for us, we can even consider it a pure joy. Ultimately, this is the gospel message. Romans 5:1, since we are justified by faith through Jesus Christ, we have found this peace with God. And through Christ, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. It is our foundation. We stand on this grace. We access it all the time. And the more we learn to access this grace, the more we will be able to see through the mind of Christ and do not be affected by suffering as we used to be. And so we boast. We talk about the hope of the glory. But not only that, we are now able to boast and talk even nonchalantly about the most awful things in this life, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Something more wonderful has squeezed out the bad. So this is what I get from this passage. In the process of being justified through Christ and having peace with God, as we learn to access this grace, we have become distracted from our quest to establish life on earth. We've been distracted. You know, something is very painful because it is meaningful to you, and you are engrossed in it. My boy fell on concrete pavement last week, scraped his knee and his elbow, crying. It was hurting. Inconsolable. So painful. I asked Joey, rather than saying, where does it hurt? How painful is it? I asked him how much he liked Star Wars Legos. All of a sudden, this crying boy is not the same. I'm not quite sure what he is saying because I don't know the details of Star Wars Legos, but he does. He knows all the names and the numbers of the boxes. Oh, that box is for this and this and this. And it's fantastic. Daddy, did you see the details of that person? Of Darth Vader? It's an amazing job they did. What happened to the crying boy who is in so much pain? That's just a small example of how we have our focus has been shifted because we have seen something else. God has shown us. He has poured love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we have been justified through faith, and we have this peace with God, and we have found access to this grace, and we are no longer looking at life the same way, ever. Suffering is bad, and we will continue to suffer. But there's one way we can guard ourselves against it. We can heed to the calling of God. The song that Deborah sang today, Jesus calls us over the tumult of life's wild, restless sea. God calls us over the chaos of the sufferings. In our joys and in our sorrows, he calls us. Jesus calls us to give our hearts to him, to serve and to love. This is my challenge for you today, that despite the pain you are in, that you will be distracted to this immense, amazing calling of God, and may you become victors. Until that day, we no longer just boast in the glory of God, but revel in it. May God bless you.